Amen. Thank you, Graham. I appreciate the opportunity to be back with you this morning. And it's been a long time since I've been here to preach. It's been great to connect with the pastors and leaders behind the scenes. But it's so good to come and just bring greetings to you as the congregation. Because belonging to our extended family, the Evangelical Missionary Church, and not seeing from the representatives very often, you can say, do we have an extended family? But indeed, you are thought of and prayed for, and I want to personally bring greetings from Pastor Phil Delso, our president today. You're appreciated as a part of our national church. And so it's great to see some familiar faces again. Some of you I consider friends. I hope you would consider me a friend too. But it's also good to see some new faces as well. And just to appreciate that God has put us together in this family of churches. As Graham said, I work as a regional minister and provide support and coaching and resource. But we're excited as a national team as well that we too are involved in the mission of Christ. And so it's not an administrative function. It's that we're on mission together with Jesus. His mission is our mission. And so exciting that we, where we live, where I live in Guelph, and where our national team is, that we can help one another following Jesus more effectively. That we can also be involved in helping people who don't know Jesus to come to know him. And this is the challenge, to sharpen our focus on making disciples. And so this morning I've come to preach the word, but just excited that your story is also a part of our story, that what God is doing here in touching the lives of people, in introducing them to Jesus Christ, in helping them to follow him, and the encouragement that you bring to one another, it matters for the kingdom of God. And so it's a thrill as well in my capacity today to bring a sidekick. And Josh, why don't you come up? Josh Wilhelm is currently on the leadership of the student council at Emmanuel Bible College this year. And so you know what it's like as you start to get older. You like to have younger people along for the ride. It keeps you youthful. But I wanted to have some opportunity to express thanks to some of our churches this fall where I have the opportunity to go and preach and to spend the day journeying together so that Josh can be an influence in my life and vice versa and to share him with you. And the Lord has done amazing things in this young man's life as he has been called to serve the Lord and follow him. And so we're going to co-teach this morning out of a passage out of Isaiah. And Josh is going to start us off there, and then I will follow up. So thank you for letting us into your home to be a part of your worship experience this morning. And Josh, welcome to you. God bless you.
Thanks, Joel. Good morning, everyone. Before we get rolling, I just want to draw attention to the pulpit here. I can't help but notice a pulpit as soon as I go into a church, and immediately thought, okay, yep. That's going to be a little bit small, which is kind of the norm. And then I saw Pastor Graham come up here and thought, the poor guy, he's even taller than I am. And he's really sort of hunched over. So thankfully, Joel and I are just half in it, so won't be too long. I'll start off by saying, first off, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with all of you this morning. I know both EBC, the college, and the missionary church both have rich roots in this area, this little, what was once a more rural area. So it's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. I feel right at home and very welcome by all of you. As Joel mentioned already, I am on student leadership at Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener this year. I'm actually the student body president. So that made me a pretty easy target for Joel when he was looking for someone to bring along and share on behalf of the college. But I was thrilled to have the opportunity and I'm very blessed to be here. So that takes care of who I am. I was born in the Listowel area and brought up in the Evangelical Missionary Church there as well. Maybe some of you have some friends who go there or have passed through Listowel, so that provides a bit of a background. So I'm here to share a little bit on behalf of the college and our theme for the year and kind of what God is fostering there at the school, as well as largely what God has done in my life over these past roughly 3 years and what he's done to bring me to where I am today. So I'll start off by mentioning our school theme for the year at Emmanuel is Reach, which you can notice on my informal preaching attire right here with the purpose. Our school theme is Reach, and our theme verse comes from Isaiah 49, verse 6. And I'll invite those of you who wish to choose to head there in your Bible now. And I'm going to share the first half of the verse and then a little bit of my testimony. And then Joel is going to take it away with the second half. Bring it home. Yeah. At school, they teach us, you know, right now I'm taking off. Like, this is the plane ride. I'm going to take off and get us to our cruising speed and then pass it over to Joel, and he's going to land the plane at the end. So, beginning in Isaiah 49, verse 6, the Lord says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Judah and to bring back the preserved of Israel." I'll say that one more time. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Judah and to bring back the preserved of Israel." Drawing attention to those first four words that the Lord spoke, "It is too light." That's where I want to launch off of, get into my story now. So, like I said, I was raised in the Listowel area. I was very fortunate to have been born into a Christian family. Both of my parents are very loving, kind, supportive people, and I've been very blessed by that. However, it's been a difficult journey at times, for sure. Both of my parents suffer from mental illness in some capacity. My mom has very severe depression, and my dad suffers from just a tremendous amount of anxiety, borderline schizophrenia, I've been told. So that was a difficult environment to grow up in. Despite my parents' financial situation, they really sacrificed a great deal so that my one younger sister and I could attend Listowel Christian School growing up. So that was a real blessing and a privilege that we had. So I was at Listowel Christian School up until grade 7. And then, unfortunately, my parents couldn't afford to send me there, me and my sister there, any longer. So at that point, they decided we had to make the transition into a public school. And I was okay with that. At the time, I had been very sort of sheltered growing up and always felt sort of segregated. So I was ready to get out and get into the world and meet some new people, try some new things. But I guess I kind of underestimated that transition year into my life. You know, I was heading into a public school for grade 8. So it's, you know, it's this graduating class. It's their last year. You know, they're already comfortable and getting ready to move on to better things. And here I am just kind of stepping in, my first time getting sort of any exposure to that at all. So that was a really difficult year. Now, a lot of like my ingrained beliefs were pounded and they really took a beating, and I started to compromise on my Christian identity and my beliefs, and I began this sort of descent into the world and worldliness. And that pattern continued on into high school as I went ahead. Now, along sort of that time, I began to make like lots of good friends along the way. And, you know, we were known as that group that was always together. You know, we always hung out at lunch or on weekends. We were those guys that were so tight-knit. And while that was good in its own ways, it also became a real problem as the group started to get into drinking and partying as high school went on. So here I am, I've sort of been brought up in the church with one foot over there, and now I'm starting to kind of step into the world and step away from God. I slowly stopped going to church and started drinking heavily on the weekends, every weekend, beginning in about grade 10, on right through for the next 3 years. And that really just characterized my life. I just worked and went to school and lived for the weekend. And I was losing who I was in all this. And throughout this time, I was working at a gas station in Listowel. And now, by the end of my high school career, I was the assistant manager at the gas station, and my boss and his wife, you know, had really grown to like me, and they were actually coming up on retirement. And one day they came to me and said, "You know what, Josh, we're getting ready to move on and stop. Like, we'd love to give you the business and usher you in as the owner-operator of this gas station." And, you know, being 17 at the time, I thought, wow, that's terrific. What an opportunity that would be. So by the end of high school, my boss and his wife weren't quite ready to retire. So I said, "You know what, I'm going to head to Conestoga College in Kitchener and just do a general business degree. And then that way I could have a little bit of a backbone to what I'm doing, as well as live the whole college partying experience for a little while." So that's what I did. I moved on to residence at Conestoga. I was accepted into their business management program, and I began to do that, all the while still heavily into the partying scene and all that comes with that. And it wasn't until that first year away at college that my life started to catch up with me. And I began to suffer from just tremendous depression and anxiety now on my own end. And this was really the first time that I had ever experienced this. And I didn't know what it was or what was going on with me or how to deal with it or where to turn. I tried going to the school counselor, and she sort of taught me some breathing techniques and gave me some relaxation CDs, which I tried listening to maybe once or twice, and that was about as far as that got. It just wasn't working. And as that year at Conestoga went on, I began to just descend lower and lower into this just pit of complete despair. And now, it wasn't until the following spring, so I was nearing the end of my first year, where I came home one weekend to see my parents and walked in the front door, and my mom just took one look at me, and I could see her heart just sink in her chest, and she just shook her head and said, like, "You are not well." And I, of course, knew I wasn't well. I was very aware of that. And at the time, I was just sort of at my wit's end and said, "Okay, Mom, fine. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I've tried everything. What more is there for me to do?" And my gentle, loving mother, as she had done all the way through, just gave me a slight little elbow and said, "Well, have you tried going back to God?" And at first I was like, "Oh, Mom, not this again." I'd been grown kind of tired of hearing it, and I'd tried to push God away and, you know, tell myself that he didn't exist and that everything I had been raised to believe was a lie. But finally, with no other options, I found myself just down on the ground beside my bed in my room, and I just completely broke down before God. And I can remember just crying out to him and saying two words, "Use me." It was kind of strange for me to look back on a guy who had tried so hard to tell himself that God didn't exist, now to be like bearing it all before him, asking him to use me. And that's where I found myself, and that's where God met me and began a turnaround in my life. So now, I had finished up my first year at Conestoga. I had poured it out to God. I was slowly starting to come back to church and move away from this partying scene, but I was still lacking a lot of direction in my life. I had no idea what I was to do, so I was just planning to go back to Conestoga for my second year and finish up that program and then just, I guess, take the gas station over and do that. But it wasn't right. Just deep down inside of me, I just was not content with where I was, but I didn't see any other option with my own closed perspective. So that's what I was going to do. Now, jumping ahead to the end of summer, it was the last Thursday in August, just over 3 years ago, where I found myself, again, in my basement, just sitting there in the quiet, reading a book. And suddenly, I heard this still, small voice, like, well up from inside of me, and speak to me, saying three things. Go to EBC. Go to EBC. Go to EBC. And then I heard it again and again and again until eventually I just dropped my book and realized what had happened and thought, go to EBC. Like, God wants me to go to EBC. In that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had just spoken to me and said those three words, go to EBC. Now, the unfolding of this is where it becomes even more amazing to see how God had this just perfectly planned out. So after I heard, go to EBC, I dropped my book, called my mom downstairs and said, Mom, this is going to sound crazy, but God just told me to go to Bible college out east. And my mom came to me and just kind of nodded and said, okay. Like, she wasn't caught off guard by that. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Mom, like, don't you see everything else? How is this going to work? Go to Bible college out east? Or so I thought. See, this part's kind of funny. I knew EBC stood for Emmanuel Bible College. About 10, maybe 11 years before, when I was still going to church in Listowel, the Bible College had sent a team, sort of like what I'm doing today, out to the church to share a little bit on behalf of the college. So I had that in the back of my head from way back then. EBC was Emmanuel Bible College. However, somewhere along the way, I'd completely forgotten where it was, and I thought it was out east. The only guy I knew growing up to go to Bible college went to Bible college out east, which I assumed must have been EBC. So I found myself sitting there like, okay, God, go to EBC. Do you want me to pack my bags and hop on the next bus and just head out there and figure it out as I go? In the back of my mind, I couldn't help but think about the lease I had already signed in Kitchener for a house right across from Conestoga College, or all my funding that I had already gotten together for my year at Conestoga. So as I was sitting there trying to mull it over and figure out how that was going to work, I asked God, okay, what do you want me to do next? And immediately what came was, go and talk to Isaac. Now, Isaac is my friend who went to Bible college out east, or so I thought, who I had just coincidentally planned to meet up with that night for coffee. I heard a funny quote last week that said, coincidences are just God's way of staying anonymous, which is so true, because it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sort of at a loss for what to do. God tells me to go meet with Isaac. I had planned to meet up with him at 6:30 at Tim Hortons, so that was just too perfect. So I found myself in there at Tim Hortons waiting for my friend Isaac to show up, with kind of sitting there with a grin on my face, pretty excited. As soon as he walked in, I told him, it's like, well, Isaac, I don't know what I was planning to talk to you about, but I've sure got something now, and proceeded to tell him that God had just spoke to me and told me to come to Bible college with him out east. And he looked at me and said, it's like, Josh, I might be wrong on this, but I think EBC is in Kitchener. And I was just like completely blown over in my chair. I couldn't believe it. So we went straight back to his house and jumped on the computer and pulled up Emmanuel Bible College, and sure enough, it's in Kitchener. And then we went and we figured out the distance from the college and the house that I had already signed a lease to live at for the next 9 months, and it was 7.5 kilometers away. So I'm just sitting there like in awe of what is unfolding right in front of me. So the next day, I drove down. I got directions to the college. I couldn't believe when I found it, just how close by it actually was. I parked my truck and just walked into the admissions building and sat down in their office and said, "Hi, I'm Josh Wilhelm. God just told me to go here, so when can I start?" And of course, they were just like overjoyed at the whole thing and very excited, like, "Oh, we've been praying for God to send students. It's not too late. We can still get you in this fall." So that Friday, I picked up my application, drove home. I filled it out. I got my references that weekend. I brought it back the next Monday. That Thursday, I found out I was accepted, and I started the following Monday. So this whole thing happened within a week and a half. And just to give you a bit of reference, when I walked into EBC, I had to go and buy a Bible. The only one I had was a kid's Bible. So we're sitting in there in like Old Testament class, and he would say, "Okay, turn to Ruth chapter 3. So I'd have to quickly go to my table of contents. Okay, where's Ruth? So I was trying to lay low for the first few months, needless to say. But that being said, the fruit of this in my life is just incredible. Like, God has done a complete reworking of my life these past 3 years, and I continue to be amazed at what he's doing in and through me. Opportunities at the college have just come up time and time again for people to minister to me and for me to minister to others, and I'm continually encouraged when I look back on what God has done in my life. And now, just reflecting on that and on this first half of Isaiah 49, verse 6. You see, in this verse, we've got God looking down on his servant, and God declares, "You know what? It's too light, you know, for you to work in Judah and in Israel. Like, this here, what you see, this is too light." And that just speaks so strongly to me in my own life, in my own story. You know, when I was in Listowel, just drinking my life away, working at a gas station, sort of wallowing in my own despair, you know, God looked down and had pity and compassion on me, and he said, "It's too light for you to stay right here. This is too light." And even today, I'm confronted and I'm challenged by those words, by God's perspective, saying it's too light. Because how often do we find ourselves saying, you know, "It's too heavy, this is too much, God, I can't do this." And all the while, God is saying, "It's too light." And there's so much contained in those words. When God says, "It's too light," what is he really saying? He's saying, "I'm too great." It's like, "I am too strong, I'm too powerful for all this." So that being said, we've got the plane in the air. I'm going to pass it over to Joel now, and he's going to finish off our flight.
Flight attendants will be around shortly to collect your newspapers and articles. But thank you, brother. And thank the Lord for modern-day Isaiahs. And isn't that amazing what God is doing? The other translation for "it's too light" is "it's just too small." And God has big things in store for our lives. Not to limit God's work. Come back with me and think about Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah, a prophet who, when the Lord showed up with this vision of seraphs and angels and the throne of God, touching his lips with a coal and saying, "I have called you." And Isaiah first said, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. This is a bad idea, God. I'm not the right person." But God used Isaiah in an important time in the history of Israel to prepare a remnant that would go through some of the darkest days that Israel would face. And I am so thankful to God that even though God's people were already fragmented,
already divided into two kingdoms because of Solomon's disobedience to the Lord. That here we have a promise given to Abram 1,100 years previous to Isaiah, that surely God would redeem his people and carry them through. Friends, I don't know where you're at in your life today, but it's not just about Josh's story, how God rescued him from despair and living for self. All of us have come from a place of needing to make a choice to follow the Lord's voice. And maybe you are here today and you have not yet done that. And I just want to encourage you that God is at work. He is at work using our lives at this moment in history to be useful to build his kingdom, be useful to his purposes in the world that transcends us. And God brought Isaiah right at the right moment so that he could call a people, a remnant of a people who would yet go through Babylonian captivity and exile. And it would be 200 years before that remnant would return to the promised land, where Israel and Judah would again have a chance to, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, to see the temple rebuilt, to see God put back in the center of the life of his people, to have Jerusalem rebuilt. And of course, the story unfolding for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the true light who was coming into the world, as John 1 says. And the beautiful good news that is for our encouragement today, the beautiful good news for our encouragement is this. Even though, and I make this personal, because I was a scoundrel. I was one living for self. I was one not seeking the will of God for my life. And even though I have previously and even continuously let God down by not following him closely, by not doing what he has laid out for my life in his word, by not listening to his spirit, I'm amazed that God is gracious and merciful and kind. And he doesn't look at me and say, oh, it's too difficult for you to serve me. It's too small a thing for me to give you the conviction to turn back to me, to be useful to my kingdom. God can and does make my life a clear ambassador, a clear representation of his light. And friends, I want to read the rest of this, verse 6. The Lord says, it is too light a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Israel and bring back those to Israel that I have kept. And I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't know what it does to you when you hear God speaking words of affirmation over you today, to say, whatever mistakes you've made along the way, if your decision is to follow me, trust me. I will do more in and through your life than you can ever imagine. Don't think of the limitation of your current circumstance or your past failures, but trust me to continue to be the one to use your life, to shine my light to the ends of the earth. I don't know what that does for you today, but it brings me a lot of encouragement that God is bigger than my failures, that God is bigger than my shortcomings, and that when I continuously surrender myself to say, Lord, I know that I have not served you perfectly, but I want to make it right. I want to be available to you today, that God never lets me down. God is there to do in and through me more than I could ask or imagine. And that's why I've entitled this message today and why we've wanted to come and talk about our own stories and say it is a privilege to be a carrier of the light of the gospel. And that is what we are. Isn't that a beautiful gift that we see threaded through Scripture? Light has been and continues to be a great metaphor for the Spirit of God's work in our lives as his children. Do you recall the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? Here they are, verses 14 to 16, which says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put the light... Oh, wait, these aren't lit. Sorry. Probably fire code hazard if we light them. Okay, I won't light them. I was going to do that, but... He says, instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus is saying the same thing that God said to Isaiah. Jesus, the true light that came into the world, turns a bunch of ragtag misfits and says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I will use you to shine for me. Friends, what a precious gift we have to hear God speaking words of affirmation and calling and capacity over our lives. We see this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How many of you love that passage where Paul talks about being little jars of clay useful to God? You know what that is that he's talking about? Carriers of light. Little clay lamps that though they are cracked, that they remain useful so that the oil can be lit and the lamp can give light to others. And that is a metaphor for your life and my life. It's so beautiful that even though we let others down, we let God down, that God says, I still want to use you to be a vessel where my light can shine in and through you. Today, we can get down on ourselves. Have you ever felt that collectively? Say, look at our church. People look at our church and pick up on hypocrisy, or maybe they see us fighting over what they consider to be petty issues or irrelevance. And yet, you and I, as followers of Jesus, if you know the Lord today, you know this is true. You know that beyond our inadequacies, God is at work in and through us as his people. And he's still calling people. He's still allowing us to be his light, to shine for him in the world today. I propose this reminder this morning, encouraging us to remember the ways God's eternal purpose for sharing his light, the beautiful gift of salvation, of eternal life in Jesus, is still available to be told through our lives, collectively and individually. And being a light is not being fake. But I propose to you this morning the way of understanding to be a carrier of God's light is to be a true and accurate portrayal of Jesus by his Spirit within us. That's what the world needs to see, is the true light of Jesus. And I want us, as we close, just to think about some ways that this can happen in our lives. That even though I've previously let God down, my life can still give a clear and accurate portrayal of Jesus when I just surrender daily and say, Lord, use me as a vessel for your light, a carrier of your light. God's not over-idealizing here with Isaiah to say, I'll make you a light for the Gentiles. God is able to do it. And so the first thing about, first comment about being made a carrier of light by God is this, that God makes you effective as a carrier of light. Whoever you are today as a follower of Jesus, the Lord said to Isaiah, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. It isn't just that we try harder and we get it right. That it is a surrendered life. It is a life yielded to the Spirit of God. It is a life of confession saying, God, I want this to be true of me today. Help me by your Spirit to be an ambassador for you, to be a vessel of light. And we have this beautiful reminder of God's perspective in the life of Josh's story this morning, that God had planted seeds long ago when he was a kid. And although there was a season of wandering far off, that the Lord called him back, called him by name, spoke to him very directly about where to go and what to do. And the Lord is just like that. The Lord says, I have plans for your life. I know you by name. He knows each one of us by name. And I will make you a light to the Gentiles. How many of you have discovered that this is a long process? I have. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years. And this spring, late spring, the Lord brought to my attention something in my life. I do a lot of traveling because the churches I work with across the EMC family are from Windsor, Ontario, to Truro or Bible Hill, Nova Scotia. So I'm away every month in short trips, and I'm away from home. And when I'm away, I feel pretty good about myself. I pat myself on the back. I'm like, yeah, I connect with my wife, Christy. I let her know I've arrived safe and that I still love her. And we you know, chat on video chat back and forth and stay connected to the family. But the Lord brought an area of conviction in my life that was actually damaging my light capacity. And it is that when I return home, I am a bear. Have you ever had the Lord bring conviction over something very specific? And when I'm away, I'm pretty good at staying connected to family. But it seems that as I come back home, that all the things that I do when I'm home, the things that I naturally do out of my gifting and my contribution to the home, guess who does them? Nobody. And I come home, and have you ever been away from a trip and somebody else has not done the things you normally do? And so I run around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I attend to all the things that don't get done when I'm not there. And the vibe that I send to my family is, you are all complete failures. How come you can't attend to these things? And the Lord just dealt with me and said, Joel, what's going on with your attitude here? And just challenged me to change. That here was something that was actually doing damage to my marriage, damage to my relationship with my kids. And I wasn't aware of it. And although my wife has tried to bring it to my attention for years, I wasn't listening. And the Lord spoke to me about that. And that's an area I'm learning to grow in. And unfortunately, you record these messages, so now she knows I've gone public with it. But I've been following the Lord for 30 years, and just to realize something harmful to my witness, something counterproductive that needs to change, that God is still in the business of chipping off the rough edges of us, refining us by fire, and doing it in a way that's redemptive, not destructive for our lives. Oh, thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your patience, and your ability to continue to refine us. And so I ask you today, what aspects of your life are not yet where the Lord desires them to be? Talk to the Lord about it. Ask him about it. The Lord is the one who makes you effective as a carrier of light, and he can continue to mold you and shape you as he does for me. Secondly, you are a carrier of light at all times. That the Lord said, I will make you a carrier of light to the Gentiles. And you know, it's light together and light apart. There was an old illustration of light where the importance of gathering together as God's people is highlighted. And a guy came into an old house where there was a coal fire and said, I don't need to go to church anymore. I can worship God in the woods. And the pastor just got up quietly and went over to the fire and took a coal out of the fire and put the coal over here on a stone and just watched that coal go quietly still. The color disappear, and it went cold. And then he picked the coal up and put it back in the fire, and it burst again. You see, we understand the importance of meeting together, of serving the Lord together, of being a body together. This is a way in which we are a light, and this is a lighthouse for God in the community of Markham. And what a beautiful gift it is. But we are reminded that God makes us a light. And here to Isaiah, he says, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. That it's not just when we're gathered together as God's people, but you and I are called to be light individually, out in the world, in our everyday walk with Jesus, wherever we go, that the Lord is able to make you a light to the Gentiles. You're a light individually when you show love, when you are a peacemaker, when you advocate for human dignity in the name of Jesus, when you stand against injustice. You're a light when you do your work to honor God and do it for God's glory. You are a light when you face adversity or grief or family upheaval rather than running, and you face it confident in the one in whom we put our trust, not knowing the end result of where things will go. But we know in this world we will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. Friends, you are a light. And your life of witness out there, as quiet as it may be, living for Jesus in where you live, who you love and are with, what you do, and all the other decisions of your life matter for the kingdom of God. God is at work making us a light to the nations. Friends, don't disregard how God is at work through all the small little things in your life. And it's important to just be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Make space to bless others, to give generously, to include the outsiders. You are a light to the world when you live your everyday moments as a reflection of Jesus. And it makes a difference for the kingdom of God. How can you give a clear and accurate portrayal of Jesus in your day today? Ask the Lord. He'll show you. He'll show you. You know, our greatest capacity is to shine in the dark. This is so true. Our greatest capacity is to shine in the dark. I will make you a light for the Gentiles. See, God's promise to Abram is that Israel would be one nation among all the other nations of the world, to show the difference it makes when you live as a people devoted to God, as is your life and my life today. That wherever you are, wherever you are planted, that God has put you there to show to all the other nations of the world and all the other people who serve all the other gods the difference it makes when you live your life as devoted to the Lord. And it makes a difference. Your greatest capacity is to shine in the dark places. So friends, let's be distinct from the world. But let's remain socially engaged. One of the challenges for me as a Christian leader working in the church all the time is, how many friends do I have who don't yet know Jesus? How much time am I giving in my neighborhood, in my community, with people who don't know the Lord? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to not just enclave, to build in our lives all the relationships with other Christians, but to be available out in the world to model healthy relationships. And so I ask you today to continue to pray, God, show me where you want me to be a clear light bearer. Finally, I've come to understand as I look at the metaphor of light that you and I are to be a source of light, not heat. You and I are called to be a source of light, not heat. Light is a constant. Its speed is measured by experts. I mean, any light experts, light speed experts here? I'm not one of them. Light is amazing. One simple little light in a dark room will push back the darkness. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you're in a dark place and you need a light and somebody provides one and you can find your way. Sometimes you're messing around with your keys late at night and the lights are off outside your door. And if you just had a light, you could shine it on. Oh, there's the keyhole. And you can get through to the next thing. Light is helpful. Friends, the calling for us to be vessels and carriers of God's light is to be the voice of wisdom. Isaiah had a tough call to be God's people, to call them to address their reality. But he did it in a way that called them back to the Lord. He didn't do it in a way that cut them down. He didn't do it in order to be a jerk. But he was a force for positive change in his world. And this is especially true when our lives don't go the way that we hope or that we want. It's easy to play the victim. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to hurt others. When we're in the desert, it is very difficult to continue to be a source of light and not give way to pessimism and just to spout what's wrong. The light of the world is Jesus. But let's remember that on the surface, people misunderstood him. But he was still the true light coming into the world. And so friends, as we represent him well, may it be that we are those who carry the light of Christ, who understand how he walked, who understand how he acted with people, and that we are those who are available, like Isaiah, for God to do things in us that may seem impossible but are not impossible. Friends, today, like Isaiah, like Josh, is the Lord speaking to you? He's asking you to be a life that he can use, to be a light out in the world today. Friends, God makes you effective as a carrier of light. There may be things in your life today that the Lord is putting his finger on and just asking you to address. Something in your walk that isn't quite right. Pay attention to that. You are a carrier of light all the time, even shining in the darkest of places. May it be that today you understand it's not just when we get together that somehow we are a lighthouse here in this building, that we are the people of God who scattered are like a million stars in the galaxy. And the Lord is able to use our lives to make a difference for him. You're a carrier of light all the time out to the nations of the earth. And you are a source of light, not just heat. That belonging to Jesus is to live life in a way that's characteristic of him. And even when we've previously let God down, our lives can continue to be useful as carriers of light. This is our challenge today as God calls us to go into all the world and make disciples. Would you listen to the voice of the Lord today to be vessels or carriers of his light, to fight darkness within your soul and out in the world, and to live distinctly for him, to make a real difference so that many more will come to know the Lord, that many more will ask us for the reason for the hope we have within us, what makes us tick, why we live differently. And friends, there's a world who do live without hope, who do live without a sense of what eternity is all about. And so the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Today is International Day of Peace. And when we give a benediction, it is we give the grace of God to go and be his ambassadors. What a beautiful thing that God has done, not only to call us by name, but that we join him on his mission in the world today. That people like you and like me and like Josh would continue to be called by name, to follow after the Lord, and to be joining him on his mission in the world today. Friends, let's pray as we close our service together. Lord God, thank you so much for the gift of your word. Your word to Isaiah at a critical point in the history of your people Israel, to call them back, but also to sustain them through some difficult days ahead. And to always keep a remnant, a people belonging to you, Lord God. Today we know that as followers of Jesus, we are a minority voice in our day. In fact, perhaps we are in exile. But God, your word of encouragement to Isaiah and through Josh's testimony and story today rings true for us. That you, it is too light for you to make us a servant, to make us effective as carriers of light. You can do it. And so we again just surrender ourselves before you, God, as your people today. And even for those here today not yet making a decision to follow you, that you would call them by name and that they would know clearly that they are welcome to join your kingdom. Oh Lord, you are the one who saves. You are the one who uses the difference in our lives to even bring others to yourself. And we pray that we will see that fruitfulness and have that sense of fulfillment of being your light bearers. Oh Lord, as we have sung today, that you would glorify your name in all the earth, that your glorious kingship would be known in my life today. And that the things that are not right in me, that mitigate against being effective as a light bearer, that you'll deal with them. And that even now as we leave this place and scatter and continue on in our day, that your light would be ever effective in shining in and through us, so that your kingdom may increase in Markham and wherever we go throughout your world. Lord God, it is good to praise you today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for bearing with them through this year that has involved a loss of so many great lives lived for you. Continue to build your church, we pray. And I pray your blessing and peace would rest upon us as we live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you for the privilege to come and to share God's word. I'll be around a little bit if you want to come and talk to me or Josh, get his autograph while he's young. You're welcome to do that. God bless you as you continue on with your day.